Good morning. You have tuned in to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson, and it is a Thursday morning. It's Juneteenth, Thursday, June 19th. Happy Juneteenth. Well, I am no longer Lonesome Jack. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing once again to the airwaves, the co-host of the Thursday morning show. Hold on. Dr. Jim Healy is in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, Jim. Okay.
I'm humbled.
All right. Thank you for coming back, Jim. It's been a long 3 weeks since you left.
4 weeks.
Four weeks. It's been a while since you were since you left. And every week I get, even people who I think listen to the radio show because they like my voice, even members of my own family will say, boy, Jim's sure been gone a long time, hasn't he? Wouldn't it be nice to hear Jim on the air again? Yeah.
Well, I am back. And and I brought my fan club with me. They were applauding in the background. Not true. Yes, I have been away, and it was a joy to be gone, and it's a joy to be back.
Well, tell us briefly where you have been.
I have been house-sitting in San Francisco, in the heart of the Mission District, and I just had an incredible time. Did a lot of things I've never done before. The 17-mile crosstown San Francisco Crosstown Trail that takes you through different neighborhoods. And it's just amazing what a city. And it has such microclimates that I saw things grow in one area that I didn't know existed. And I went around with my Google app identifying things, you know, like taking a picture. And have you guys ever used that?
No.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, you just hold it up to whatever you're looking at and hit the picture, and it'll come up and tell you what it is. Unfortunately, I'm only as good as the last one I did because I don't remember the names. I come up again. So last night I went around in my yard, and a thing that I just called a yellow flower is a Welsh poppy. You know, I'm growing Welsh poppies now.
That's,
you know, that
cool.
sort of thing. How you know, I felt like Adam in the Garden of Eden, you know, renaming things, you know, rather than, oh, those are the purple flowers, those are the yellow ones, you know. Yeah, it was great to be gone. Saw an incredible installation in the Museum of Modern Art called The Visitors. Nine screen. You can go to YouTube, but it's not the same, by an Icelandic director. And eight musicians in a 43-room mansion in upper state New York, I think on the Hudson, playing. They're separated from each other, but I know it sounds bizarre, but they've got headphones on, and they're playing their instrument, whether it be drums, cello, or whatever. And there's nine screens, eight of them on the different artists with their headphones, and it's and you walk into the room, you lay down on the floor, you stand by, and as you move around, the different screens will highlight the different instruments, but you hear everybody else. 54 minutes long.
That's pretty cool.
It is beyond cool. You can watch it on YouTube, but it's not the same because you get just one microphone, but it's called The Visitors. And I don't remember the guy's last name, but the first name is Ragnar, R-A-G-N-A-R. You know, doesn't that sound Scandinavian, mythological?
Yes, it certainly does.
Did a lot of good eating.
Okay. Well, I bet you did.
A Middle Eastern vegan restaurant and a Czech-Hungarian restaurant and... I just dragged my lower lip across the city. It was, and then saw friends, saw some movies, participated in a march.
Oh, on the would this be just on Tuesday?
Or No.
Saturday. Right.
The No Kings with thousands.
Yeah,
just did a lot, and it's good to be back.
Mm-hmm.
And to tend to my own little garden.
Yeah.
Did you make it to any farmers markets while you were there?
You know, I didn't. There's one that we always hit in the Embarcadero on Wednesdays and Saturdays. We never got there. And then there's one in Noe Valley that we usually hit. But, you know, we look at each other and go, nah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got other things happening. So, but you're absolutely correct. The farmers markets there are off the map.
Yeah, the growing season there is
remarkable. And one, I have to admit,
figs.
One,
they grow figs.
Oh, they grow. Well, where we were visiting friends, they had a fig tree, neighbor's fig tree, going over into their yard, and they said that the neighbor said that any figs that are on your side of the fence are yours.
That's
but they
pretty
weren't.
Cool.
They were years away from being ripe.
Yeah.
So I'm back.
Okay, welcome back.
What did I miss here?
I have more questions. It's
okay.
You missed a lot. I think you were gone for the annual fun drive, which was
that
good,
I was
good fun.
That I was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the big radio station business, I guess. But we've missed
a lot of support.
You missed. I think you missed no rain whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I think it's been you, but you bring it with you.
No, I've heard about that from my flowers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's been...
They have been complaining, and I've given them fertilizer, and they're happy. You know, they're throwing confetti and have party hats on.
We haven't done the weather report yet, nor
and we
have
haven't
we...
introduced
oh,
our...
I was going to say, yeah.
Do you want to do that?
Okay, sure.
Well, I'll introduce the most important person in the room, Olympia Jean Camp. There is, and she is here offering support that we do our best. And she's just in the corner smiling and happy to be here. She's probably more awake than any of the rest of us.
Yeah. Let's see here. Does somebody have a hearing aid in or anything? We're getting a little feedback somewhere. No? Okay, whatever. Would you move those away from the microphone? Could be those, yeah. Okay. No, it's... Okay, that's better. I think it was picking up those headphones. We are live on the air, by the way, and this is how it goes sometimes. We're also here with Michelle Murphy, who is a community garden activist and planter extraordinaire. And Debbie Love and Anna Camp are here from the Bonner Community Food Bank. To talk about a growing movement here in Bonner County. Let's give the weather forecast. Today, 78 is the high. It looks like currently in the 60s, about 61 degrees right now. The low tonight is 50 degrees. We have increasing clouds over the course of the day and then mostly cloudy tonight. Tomorrow, the forecast currently calls for a 70% chance of showers. And the high is 67 degrees. So finally, the rain arrives and we're cooling down a little bit. 80% chance of showers on Friday night. The overnight low of 44. A 100% chance of rain on Saturday at the high of 56. Which is quite a... statement.
Yeah, 100%. No matter where you're standing, you could be on one block and move over to another block rather than 60% chance wherever you are.
Mm-hmm. It's coming.
Yeah.
Let's see. Rain on Saturday night as well. More rain likely on Sunday. 80% chance of rain. The high is 65. Saturday is the cool day. 56 is the high. And then warming up again Monday, 71 and a 60% chance of rain. And then on Tuesday, looks like the rain will be coming closer to an end. 20% chance of showers and a high of 81 on Tuesday. And the current forecast says Wednesday, mostly sunny and a high near 86. So the rain is going to dump this weekend and then clear up again next week.
If I can say something, yesterday was absolutely a beautiful day in terms of we had the bright sun and then a cloud would come in. And temperature wise, I could have had that day going forever.
Yeah.
How about you guys?
I like that.
Same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we vote for that.
I just didn't want it to end, you know, and I was ready to forsake fall and snow and everything like that just for that day. I didn't want to go indoors.
It was, yeah, it was gorgeous. I ended up flying a kite yesterday breeze picked up.
With James?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, what fun. Was this his first kite flying?
Oh, no. I think we've done it before. But this was the first successful one this year, that's for sure. It's been, it's been a while. And I would say he was more involved this time than he was when he was
There's something magical about flying a kite because you can't see wind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just sort of like up there.
Uh-huh.
And I think of the song from Mary Poppins and Let's Go Fly a Kite Up to the Highest Height. It's, you want to have wings.
It is magical. Yeah, it was fun. Let's see. What other news did you miss? Phil Huff. You missed Phil Huff just
I have been following him on Facebook and giving him a thumbs up when he says he's on the Erie Canal, bicycling it. Yes.
Our Tuesday morning show co-host is off on his summer sabbatical, and he is now, I believe he's in Minnesota right now, just arriving in St. Paul, Minnesota on the Amtrak train.
Yes.
I'm following him.
Oh, so his Erie Canal is coming up.
He's on his way out there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he just, he went through Montana yesterday and he's heading out there. That's the Phil Huff update. Anyway.
Okay. He's moving into another time zone.
Stay tuned for more of those as the summer goes on. I guess it's now time we got to get into this. We got to get into the conversation about this so-called growing movement.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Who would like to introduce us? Yeah, that would be a good thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. This is the gardeners throughout Bonner County are joining forces to do what? Michelle.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for having us. It's great to see you guys.
Great to have you guys
back. The growing movement. I love that. I think, Anna, did you come up with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You and Olympia?
Me and Olympia.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
So we are having, I guess, is it the second produce drive that we're having? We did one earlier in 2020. We gave out a lot of plants this time, just asking people to consider donating some, all, nothing of their produce, and we can get it to our neighbors through the food bank market, or we can donate it to the school district, and then that will be included in the summer meals for kids. I think that's kind of what started the whole thing, is that Bobby Coleman, the director of nutrition for the school district, said, hey, if you want to donate produce, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, so the summer meals, I don't know, have you heard of what they're estimating, how many? When we did it in 2022, when we filled in for the school district for the summer meals, we made and distributed 7,400 lunches.
No
so,
way.
Yes way. So, so this year, I don't know, this summer, I think that the needs have gone up substantially since 2022. So have you heard, like, at least 8,000 meals, I would think?
The number that Bobby gave us initially, I think, was 250 meals daily that they're going to be distributing. So, yeah, we can, extrapolate that number out through how many, days the children are receiving lunches and breakfasts.
Nice.
But that's the number.
So what would be the number one donatable?
Good question.
Kale?
Oh, I think that might be further down the list. I don't know, though. I have heard at some of the school gardens when kids are in there, I love kale, Okay, then. What do you think? Fruit?
Yeah,
that's going to be. Mm-hmm. It would be wonderful if we could get a team of gleaners to go into the community. I don't know if we have something like that in our community. So that would be great.
Yeah. I think that I would say that the number one donatable food item from your garden would be something that you love to grow. Whatever it is that you love to grow. Because it's going to land in the hands of people who need it and appreciate it. Regardless of what it is, because it's either going to go into the lunch boxes of children in the community. And for those items, we're looking for things that are best eaten fresh, things like cucumbers or cherry tomatoes or sugar snap peas, things that do not need to be cooked. And items that will be staying in the food bank and going to our neighbors there will be, things that are like things that are better prepared with some heat and maybe some salt and pepper. So zucchini or eggplants.
Yeah. We haven't gotten into zucchini season yet, have we?
Yeah. That's later in the season. But yeah, early season things. Radishes, we already have had a delivery to the kitchen at Farman. So we had a load of sugar snap peas and some radishes get into some lunchboxes
so
already.
So the movement has started.
The movement has begun.
It's growing.
It's growing already. It's growing already.
Now, should the grower do anything with the vegetables or just bring them in?
Give them a little shake off, you know, shake some, you know, excess dirt off. But we will accept whatever is brought in. And what we're going to do at the food bank is, you know, sort items like with like, you know, so if somebody comes in and they only bring in, you know, maybe 6 or 7 radishes, we'll wait for other donors to come in and we can, you know, put them in a bundle and bring more of it to the school kitchens.
So okay. That's one. Can Michelle talk a little bit more about when she came up the steps, she had a tomato plant.
Let's hear about that.
For Jack and a tomato plant for me, and we're going to take them home and whatever
They're
comes
part
off.
Of the team now, official mm-hmm. members. Cool. Welcome.
We are plant-carrying members.
Yes. Oh, do you want to talk about our donation?
I just want you to bring that up because this is incredible of what you did and how you distributed them. So please share.
Oh, my gosh. So Diane Green, usually this time of year, she has a wonderful plant sale. I've never been to it on a Memorial Day. The plants that are remaining, she usually donates to. I go pick them up, and they go to the school gardens, their community gardens, the food bank garden. So when we did the produce drive last time, she gave me 70 tomato plants. So I went all over town, you know, distributed those. And this year, I drove up in my little Honda, and she's like, that just is not going to do it. I was like, so we stuffed as many plants as we could get. You know, it's like you can't see out the windows, barely, you know. And then came back with my husband's truck for 2 more loads of plants.
Wow.
And I was getting so tired. It was when that was so hot. I'm like, what is wrong with me? And then I tallied up the plants that she had given us, and it was 963.
No way.
And I thought, how am I going to get rid of all these tomatoes? But I went to the library. I had over 200 tomatoes, and they were gone like in 15, 20 minutes. So within a matter of days,
terrific.
The food bank, we had a couple hundred there too, right? And those went right away.
Yeah, you brought us a little over 200, and they were gone within that first day. Also, Kinnick-Sue Land Trust. You took some over to Kinnick-Sue, and they were able to distribute those. So,
it's incredible. So people are asking, you know, do you have any more plants left? And I think you two got the last tomatoes there.
Thanks for saving us, too.
Absolutely.
So I was thinking, we were just talking, 963. So that was 7 plants that were just donated. So we're at, 970?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, maybe we should have a push. Let's get, 31 more plants.
Uh-huh. And we could have 1 mil.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, isn't there something magical about, you know, rather than getting our food donated from places that grow it, that we're doing it ourselves? There's something that we're making a contribution.
I love that part of this project is involving the community. And you can be somebody who's growing, you know, a whole, you know, 100-foot row of a crop. Or you could be somebody who has a pot on your front patio and you can bring in, you know, your cucumbers. And it's really a growing movement in the sense that everyone can contribute as they can.
Oh, and it was so much fun handing out those plants. I mean,
I love receiving the one this morning.
Oh, my gosh. People are so happy. Just like a little free plant, you know. And I was talking to Kara Johnson at the library, and she was like, it's potential, you know. And that's a great way of looking at it.
It is. It is. And there's just something about watching it. You know, I have a tomato plant at home, and just watching the little flowers turn into the little green balls, and then they'd work their magic and do whatever they do. That is, but tomatoes take a while. What's right now being brought in?
Mostly spring greens. Okay. So lettuces and kale and radish and snap peas. I think there was some early turnips that we got.
Salad turnips. There's something I never rarely hear.
This is for me and my growing movement campaign. I want to introduce everyone to the salad turnip.
She's on a mission.
It is a beautifully, like, it's sweet and crisp. And if you've ever had like a storage turnip, it is nothing like a storage turnip.
So what do you do? Do you grate it?
Wouldn't grate it. I would like slice it and put it on a salad.
Okay.
You can quarter it, put it on a salad. If the larger ones, they're beautiful grilled.
Grilled. Okay.
Yeah, the Hawkeye is the name that.
Interesting.
It's a wonderful, like.
But that's a root vegetable, isn't it?
It is, and it's this ivory white, and it's a beautiful plant to eat. Tell your friends about the salad turnip.
The salad turnip, rather than the regular turnip.
Yeah, not a storage turnip. The storage is pretty woody, you know, and it's almost it's even woodier than a potato. This one is. It's almost fruit-like because it's so sweet.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Huh.
Where can you get seeds for that? I don't think I've ever seen them before.
Most seed companies will. I think I've got some from Johnny's, which is a pretty popular distributor of seed. But you can find them.
Okay.
You can find them.
Would it be too late or hot
now? And that's the other fantastic thing about this plant. Their days to maturity is about a month.
Serve like a radish.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But you can let them get big and they won't get woody.
So you
can have them the size of a beet, or you can have them the size of a golf ball.
Got it.
The real question, does Olympia like them?
Olympia. You know,
ask Olympia.
Do you like the salad turnips?
Okay. Yeah,
she does. She likes them, actually, and I have photographic proof of her eating them straight out of the ground.
Wow! Nice.
Now, can Debbie talk about produce at the food bank? How that works as opposed to canned items or whatever? Produce has a short shelf life.
It really does. So in the market where we have a point system. Mm-hmm. Most all of our produce is 0 points. So we do want to encourage people to take it quickly and utilize it. One thing too about the produce in this program that we're doing is a lot of families that are on limited incomes will go into a store and their dollar will spread farther if they buy shelf stable, right? Because if you buy lettuce or something, you have a quick turnaround with that. And so providing it at the food bank, it goes out quickly. It's one of the first to go off the shelves with families, so it's really exciting to have this. Last year, we distributed 202,000 pounds of produce, and that was all due to our community, through our community partnerships. So,
one of the things I think of is that the end of the growing season donations, like the fruit trees and things like this, but this is something that starts early. You know, with lettuce, with radishes. We're not quite into zucchinis yet, but soon they will be.
They will.
Yeah. And that is our hope with this program, too, is even, you know, as the season progresses, we're going to bring in different types of plants like, you know, carrots, cucumbers, peas, tree fruit. And it could be, you know, a lesson for, you know, the students who are receiving some of the food, too, just introducing them to more the seasonality of food. A lot of us will just walk into a grocery store and pick up strawberries in November.
Yeah.
But, you know, knowing that that is a June harvest is something it's really critical, too, of just being in a region of, you know, that can grow food. So. Mm-hmm.
And we do have a lot of greenhouses in the area, too.
Yes.
So I imagine that the Jenkins pretty soon will have some zucchini, maybe. So
we're all waiting for zucchini.
I know it.
What was that number again, Debbie? How many total pounds did you distribute last year of produce?
202,000.
So 101 tons of produce in 1 year.
In one year.
Did that math
Good
here
job.
On the
Thank
napkin.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So That's a ton. That's 101 tons. That's a ton of food.
And we had over 38,000 visits into the market last year in 2024. So, and our numbers continue to grow. So.
Yeah.
How many visits did you have?
38,000. Wow. A little over that.
I think what's neat about what the program is doing is anybody who has a garden can always fit in another plant, can do another row, and to be able to donate that, that's just, and I don't know about you guys, but sometimes we have more than we can eat anyway.
Yes.
And rather than do whatever you do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back to the earth compost or whatever, whatever you may do with it.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a way that, now, where is the food bank?
Oh, yeah. We are located at 1707 Culver's Drive in Sandpoint.
Okay. How does one, can you drive us there? I mean, rather than just a street address?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're going down Boyer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And if you're coming.
Heading north.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
You cross the railroad track.
Two sets of railroad tracks. Two sets.
And the second one, you take a
left
onto
Ebbett.
Okay, and then
a right on Culver's,
and then BAMO.
Yeah,
there it is.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's important. And 5 days a week, is it open to drop the produce off? Does one need to call in early and say, "Hey, I've got this turnip, this magical turnip."
We have salad turnips. Where should we go?
Yeah. What do we do?
So we're available for drop-offs from Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 3 p.m.
Okay.
So.
And we have something exciting this year, too, is we have an after-hours refrigerator. So if you do come after 3 p.m. or during the weekend, we're going to have a refrigerator staged outside where donors can place their produce, and we will pick it up Monday morning.
Making it easy.
Yeah. Yes. And we've been working really hard. The food bank has been working really hard. We want this to be a successful year so that maybe this is an annual thing with the school district. So it's, you know, the food bank didn't have enough to do already. I can't believe it, but they really stepped up and they're the distribution point. And so I think that's really the key to making this a successful event.
Absolutely. And so many children are on free or reduced lunch rate meals during the summer or during the school year. And so in the summertime, it's hard for families to feed their children. And so we're absolutely happy to provide this service for our community and our children. We're all doing the same work and just happy to be able to do that. And it's something that we do daily. So it's just part of what we do.
Mm-hmm. So you guys get the produce, all the donations will be going to the Bonner Community Food Bank. That's your central point. Yep. And then with them, what happens next to the food? Just curious and kind of.
So what we'll do is we accept donations from the community and then we'll, as far as this program goes, the foods that are better, prepared, like eaten, cooked, will stay in the food bank market.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of like the herbs that we get or eggplants, things like that, that are cooked will stay in the market and be distributed to families there that have access to a kitchen to prepare the foods. And the foods that are better eaten raw, like snap peas, carrots, cherry tomatoes, cucumbers, sweet, you know, mini sweet lunchbox peppers, those will be sorted and then delivered to the kitchens at the school district at Farman.
At Farman.
Yeah. Okay. And there's two distribution points where the children will receive the meals at the Farman Elementary and also at City Beach.
That's right. They do City Beach lunch.
Correct.
Yeah. Cool. Well, okay.
But have we decided on what is our goal for the number of pounds of produce we want to bring in? Can you explain, like, the last time we did it, how much we brought in?
Yeah, so I think we can do it. In 2020, when Michelle spearheaded this, we brought in 200,000 pounds just through this program.
And that's with 70 plants.
That's with 70 starter plants that we... So.
Wow.
So I think we can double it.
So this year
we have a great community.
We have 963 plants. So it's like the pressure is on.
Are you feeling the pressure, Jack?
I am. I got to keep that tomato plant alive.
Yeah.
We're counting on you.
I was thinking about that. The pressure that these plants are under.
Uh-huh.
Produce.
What kind of tomato did you give me there, Michelle? What was that?
Oh, it's...
I wish I had it in front
Garadana, something like that. Okay. I think that it's kind of more like a Roma tomato.
Perfect.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Okay. Cool, cool. Should we take a break and then come back and talk more?
Yep.
I can't help what Anna mentioned, eggplant. I had, and I love to say this word, I had in San Francisco at the Middle Eastern vegan restaurant, Baba Ganoush.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
And it was, it had just a ton of garlic in it. And that was just, but Baba Ganoush is a hummus-like sort of made from eggplant. And I knew the word before I knew what it was. And I just like saying, I'll have some Baba Ganoush. But one of the memorable songs about San Francisco, Tony Bennett.
Here we go.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco.
Tony Bennett, I left my heart in San Francisco. Old Blue Eyes himself. No, just kidding. Does Tony Bennett have a name? Have a nickname like that? No, he's not Old Blue Eyes. He's not the Velvet Fog. He's he's something else. Jim is just back from San Francisco. My name's Jack Peterson. Jim Healy's here. And we're talking to Michelle Murphy, Debbie Love, and Anna Camp from the Seed to Snack.
Growing movement.
Seed to Snack program, the Growing Movement Seed to Snack program at the Bonner Community Food Bank from the Gardens for Health Collaborative and the Lake Pondere School District and the food bank. We are, I guess, talking about the needs of the food bank. And Jim is just back from San Francisco, so we're playing some San Francisco tunes. Stay tuned later on in the show. Someone from the Panda Theater is going to drop by, tell us about what's going on over there. And if we have time, we'll ask Jim more questions about San Francisco. But no guarantees about that one.
No guarantees I'll answer.
Yeah. okay. I guess it's a good time to talk about kind of summer at the food bank in general and the needs that you see at this time of year. I think we oftentimes think of the food bank as sort of a fall thing. Everybody thinks of it around, that's when it's very visible in the grocery stores and stuff, looking for donations for Thanksgiving and that kind of thing. But your doors are open all year long. Yeah. What's summer like? Produce, of course, is the big change, I suppose.
Yes, we're grateful for that. We receive food commodities through the two USDA programs, and unfortunately, they've been cut. So normally we'll get a variety of canned foods, fresh frozen meat proteins, but those have been cut. And so this month we will only have lentils a part of that program, and that's 25% of our food distribution that we're losing. So this produce program is coming at a great time for us as the need continues to grow. It's not going down. And during the summertime, like you said, people often forget that there's a need in our community. And so
hunger is not seasonal.
Exactly. Right. And so as the need is going up during the summer, our donations go down. So we really work hard working with our community to bring in the produce. And also we have Cedar Hills Church is going to be doing a Super Saturday for us in July, July 26th.
Could you talk more about that?
Yeah, they are going to provide volunteers and at three different grocery stores. So they'll be at Super One, Safeway, and Yolks from 9 to noon, which we're excited about. We don't often have summer food drives, so it's really nice that Michelle actually is spearheading that for us.
That's July 26th. July 26th, and we are looking for volunteers. So,
yeah. So we're excited to have things that happen that way. We also have a Christmas in July event happening at Super One. So
that's a great event.
Yeah.
It's fun in the sense that it is a really good reminder and just raising awareness that, as you said, Jim, see, you know, hunger is year round. Mm-hmm. And Christmas is a time where people generally are generous with their donations, but also the reminder in July and sort of bringing that spirit of generosity and awareness around food insecurity in our community.
What is the event? What are you guys going to be doing? Is it a food?
It's a food drive. Okay. Yeah, it's a food drive and a you know a campaign raising awareness around food insecurity in North Idaho. So there's several other food banks that participate in our region, and they sort of turn it into a friendly competition to see who can raise the most food in an afternoon. And I will proudly say that our little Bonner Community Food Bank has outpaced the food banks in Coeur d'Alene the past 2 years.
And Spokane.
And Spokane.
And Airway Heights.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. So it's pretty exciting. Well, and to me, I think that's a real reflection of how generous our community is, mm-hmm. where we can say that and take care of our neighbors the way we do.
So that'll be on a Wednesday, July 19th, from noon to 6:30. We'll be in the parking lot wearing Lays and Santa hats and flamingos, so we make it into a fun.
Are you going to be there, Olympia?
So, and we're looking for volunteers from 12 to 6 to help us stand in the doorways of Super One and hand out wish lists of what our needs are.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to admit that the food bank does a tremendous service by making giving easy. You know, rather than when you're going around the aisles, you know, pick off, you know, you get a list and whatever you are in the store, you go, oh, a jar of peanut butter, you know, where the needs are rather than. And I think, you know, that's the whole. And also the bags. Sometimes when you go into the grocery store for $5, you can get a bag of pre-selected items. You know, that just makes easy. Mm-hmm. And I think people are generous and sometimes they like it to be easy.
Absolutely. Yeah, we appreciate. We just finished a food drive with Yolks for the pre-made bags, the $10 and $20 bags. So that was a great. It's called What's for Lunch.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Keeping on the minds of people that kids are out of school. And so we offer extra points for children during the summertime, households with children, so that they can gather more food for them during the day.
Mm-hmm. So. It does seem like your name, the food bank, comes up oftentimes at some of these summer events. It'll be, you know, price of admission is a can for the food bank.
That's right.
Something recently happened.
We had a great partnership with the library the color run.
Yes.
And the registration, you know, quote, fee was a donation for the food bank. And so we raised 172 pounds.
And that's wonderful.
Of food. It is incredible. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. And what I think it's another, you know, testimony to the collaboration we can, you know, pull together in our community, you know, the organizations working together to, to create community, really.
Yeah.
So. I've participated in over at the grocery stores, and this is a giving community.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people are just absolutely behind the food bank 100%. And and I like growing movement, growing the food.
Yes.
Rather than the can of kidney beans or something like this.
Which is fantastic, too.
And absolutely.
And I think about, you know, what you just said about the opportunity to give, because I feel like many people in the community, you know, they don't know exactly how they can contribute.
How do I do it?
Yeah. But it's also this thing where you're giving a material object of a can of kidney beans or a bundle of radishes. But to me, it's also the sense that wells up in a person when they can share that.
You bet.
That physical item, but it's the feeling that you get when you can care for another person in your community. Well, I'm going to cry. because it is. It's within our control. And it's the act of giving is the what you receive.
And really. What better way through food?
And what better way through food?
And yeah. I look at that tomato plant that I got this morning and the potential.
It's the potential.
I can't wait to get it into the ground.
Oh, you know? There you go.
Yeah, it's yeah. it's the gift that you receive as a and giver.
If anything yeah. happens to it, I don't want to go there. I do want to get it in the ground so it can enjoy the rain.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we better get those.
Yeah, absolutely. We have Penitent Theater waiting, beating on our door to get in.
Oh,
gosh.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Again, keep the food bank in mind, even if you haven't gotten one of the plants like Jack and I have this morning. You know, think about your garden as being a way, and you know, so many people have gardens, and there's so much produce that, you know, like what Anna said, ends up in the compost pile. And this is a great way to give to the community something that you know you have, you know, that's right there. So, Jack, anything in conclusion?
Well, I will just let's go through the details one more time. Oh, also. Preview, very briefly, you have an event coming up in October. We're going to have you back to talk about it again.
We do. Yeah, we have a very exciting birthday coming up. Bonner Community Food Bank has been in the community for 45 years, since 1980. And in 2025, we're celebrating 45 years. So we're having a celebration at the fairgrounds on October 11th from 5 to 8 p.m. We're going to have sort of a, you know, taste of the community with several different participating restaurants.
October
11th.
Saturday. It's a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Saturday, yeah. October 11th at the fairgrounds. Okay. Daytime event? Evening event?
It's an evening. 5 to 8 p.m. Tickets are $45.
Sounds like a dinner.
It's going to be, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Take a bite out of hunger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fighting hunger bite by bite. So we get small bites of food for participants from six different restaurants. And
oh, great.
It'll be a great time.
Yeah, so one last thing. Olympia, if anybody has any questions, who should they call?
Bonner Food Bank? Who are you going to call? You're going to call Bonner Community Food Bank at 263-FOOD.
Oh. And wonderful.
And a reminder that we've been talking today about the Seed to Snack program, the growing movement, and they're calling on all gardeners in Bonner County and in our listening radius.
You don't even have to be a gardener. Anybody can join.
Okay. to bring in fresh produce from their yard or garden to the food bank to help with the school lunch program over the summer and the food bank in general, the needs of the food bank in general.
And you know, we can't let them leave the radio station without thanking Michelle and Debbie and Anna and Olympia for the good that they're doing in the community, part of the quality of life here. Certainly, these four individuals are doing a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, can't thank you enough for what you do and the joy with which you do it. That's also important.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We're going to.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
Yeah, thank you, Jack. KRFY. Okay,
thank you, KRFY.
Well, we're going to ease you out of the station with a song from 1967. I think sometimes it's painful to listen to it now, but San Francisco, when you come to San Francisco with flowers in your hair. I didn't because I don't have any hair. But here is Scott McKenzie.
If you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair.
Scott McKenzie, San Francisco, be sure to wear flowers in your hair, from 1967. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. It's me, Jack Peterson, with Jim Healy, and we just said good morning and adios to the food bank crew, Michelle, Debbie, Anna, and Olympia as well, whose voice you heard maybe a little bit on the came over the microphone. We're now here with the executive director of the Panetta Theater, Rob Talbot. Welcome.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back in. As
that was, ever. That was cool listening to all the things that they're doing at the food bank and
a lot
busy yeah. group over there. Yeah,
nice to have fresh vegetables and stuff like that in the mix instead of just the canned food. Canned foods are great; they work, but those fresh vegetables, we all know how much better those taste and
especially are good for if you. They're locally grown. That's by right. people in the community.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
Let's see here. So what's going on, Rob, at the Panetta Theater?
Well, we got a couple big things going on. We are, it's official. We are bringing back the theater summer camp that we did last year. Last year was, sold out and
cool.
As far as the camp registration goes, that camp will be, from, July. Get my note here. July 21st through August 8th, and then there will be a performance, public performance on the 8th and the 9th. So an evening show on the 8th and a matinee on the 9th. So it's 3 weeks, and it's 3 hours a day from 1 to 4, and it's only $150, which is great price, and it's ages 7 to 17.
And how does one apply for that?
That's a great question. Well, you go to panetta.org and go to the event page, and it will be up today. It's at the bottom of that event page. You'll have to scroll past some other great events like Steve Poltz next week.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. But you'll get there pretty quick.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, that sold out last year, and we expect that'll do that again. You know, there's a lot of demand from the those that did it last year. So,
what numbers do you happen to recollect?
How many campers?
Yeah,
35.
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
And we are partnering with Lake Pondere Repertory Theater, as well as the Pondere Arts Council, to make this happen. We also got a very generous grant from the Idaho Community Foundation. So, those things are making this possible. And man, I tell you, it's one of the, you know, my year and a half of being at the Panetta, this camp is probably one of the things that I'm most proud of being a part of, bringing it back. You know, to have almost 36 local kids of all ages being able to spend that time in the Panetta and make that connection. And then last year we had right at 300 people coming in for those two performances. So for them to be able to get that intimate knowledge of the theater for 3 weeks and then be able to perform for their community is pretty outrageous. It's pretty cool. Proud of my team and honored to work with LPORT and POAC to make it happen.
That is very cool. I'm glad LPO Rep is involved once again, coming, bringing back. Do you know anything about, or when do they, maybe they don't even decide until later what they're actually going to perform?
Three Musketeers.
Hey, okay. They do know. All right.
Yes.
That'll be cool. The Three Musketeers is they'll spend 3 weeks putting that show together and learning all the, it's not just theater camp as far as on stage. They do
everything, right? They look at the production side of it.
Yeah.
So they'll make the set. They'll work on costumes and pull all that together. We'll even work with them a little bit on how to, you know, how it's advertised and marketed and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get in pretty deep in all of it. They get to see a little bit of all the parts and pieces, which will be really cool.
Okay. In our remaining minutes here, let's talk, briefly about Steve Poltz there's a sort of a theme of, it looks like we're entering a theme month of some kind anyway.
Yeah, we've got some good stuff coming up.
Steve Poltz.
But Steve Poltz, I'm really excited to have him come to the Panetta. For those of you that don't know, he co-wrote several songs with Jewel back in the 90s. They were actually married, and he was on a couple of her videos. You Are Meant for Me is one of them that you might know. And he a lot of his current music kind of, well, one of the things that he and Jules seemed to get along so well with in the writing style department was just his Americana indie, just folkiness.
Okay. Mm-hmm. His folkiness.
And if you, he's pretty unfiltered, I think is a way to put it. He's a lot of fun on stage. He is a, he has a similar stage presence to, I would say, John Craigie. Mm. And his set will be similar to that, where he'll tell stories about random events, and then he'll sing a song about it, and then he'll go on to some more storytelling, and you'll be laughing and crying the whole time. It's kind of got a Wood Brothers-esque sound to him when he performs, when he sings. So, I mean, it's kind of a mashup of Jewel and Craigie and Wood Brothers is kind of the way I would put it out there. It's just going to be a real entertaining night. And it's on a Wednesday night. So get a babysitter, come out as a couple, and, you know, to make it even better, Sandpoint's own Lori Shook will be opening up for him. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a beautiful night. Those two know each other really well. So I wouldn't be shocked if she comes out and performs a little bit with him. Like I said, they're good friends. They've known each other for a while. So, it'll be a special night of live music. You know, I love music that's recorded, but live music is another step, another thing. Cause it's real. It happens right in front of your face and you never see it or hear it again. So mm-hmm. come out and support that live music and have an unforgettable night in the Panada.
Mm-hmm. Coming up, let's see, looks like that must be next Friday, June 27th. Here's a throwback. To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. That's the $5 movie for Friday, June 27th. Any particular reason you guys chose this film?
So we're doing a couple Pride movies.
I thought that might be the case.
Mm-hmm. And we are, you know, we've got some great sponsors that are helping us out with that. La Chic Boutique, Evans Brothers, Planned Parenthood, and Bonner County Dems are all mm-hmm. sponsoring that to make these possible. So we've got To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, which if you haven't seen that or haven't, don't know what that is, what that movie is about, take a look. It's,
Patrick Swayze,
yep.
and Wesley Snipes and John Leguizamo, and they are all drag queens, on the way to the national championship drag queen, let's see. The Nationals, I guess. Yeah, and they are fun to see these three actors in these particular roles, and they are it's a road trip adventure across America. That's that one next Friday.
A week from Friday.
A week from Friday. So that will be June 27th.
Yeah, not
the 20th.
Not tomorrow. Okay.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Tomorrow.
The next week. Yeah.
And then Transamerica, which mm-hmm. will be July 10th. So that's the mm-hmm. Thursday before Pride kicks off over at the Granary District.
Mm-hmm. Transamerica with Felicity Huffman. I remember when this came out, and I know it got rave reviews, especially for Felicity Huffman's lead performance. I've never seen this one, though.
I want to say, I think she was nominated for Best Actress from it.
I kind of think you're right.
I want to just guess at that.
Yeah. But I haven't seen that one. I would like to. There you go. And that's the day before Sandpoint Pride is that one, Thursday, July 10th. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, again, these movies are $5, which is a mm-hmm. number that's increasingly hard to maintain. So we really appreciate the sponsors making it possible. Mm-hmm. And you know, if anybody else is interested, we've got a outer space, sci-fi themed,
Independence Day.
Series coming up for July and August. We're going to start out with the Independence Day on July 5th. The rest of those movies will be announced in the next day or so. But if you're interested in joining on either one of those, actually, or any movies or anything else that we're doing, if you're looking to help the Panada through corporate business sponsorships or donations to make these things happen, please reach out to us at fundraising@panada.org. And that would be Olivia.
Okay.
We're definitely sharpening our, getting more tools in the tool bag, and we're ready to take those corporate sponsors and put that money to good use at the Panada, as well as get your name out there a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Independence Day, July 5th, that's the show. Not the Independence Day itself, of course, will be on July 4th this year.
Yeah, we haven't moved the day, Independence Day itself.
Don't count on it. It's now the Gulf of America.
Yeah, things can move a little bit.
Things have changed.
Yep.
Hey, speaking of holidays, happy Juneteenth once again.
Yep.
Yes, happy absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Good to be back, Jack. Yeah.
Were you going to say something, Rob?
Yeah, I was just going to throw out one more thing. I'd be remiss to say. I want to give everybody a heads up, because this thing, this event is close to selling out or sells out each year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Full Draw Film Tour, Bow Hunting Films. And that'll be Wednesday, July 9th. So those of you that want to go to that, I would say go ahead and get those tickets now. It's live on the website. Go ahead and grab those tickets, because
they go.
Mm-hmm. They may very well not last. I would not count on getting them at the door.
Okay.
We'll let you know as we get closer if they're still available, but get them now.
Okay.
Don't do the Sandpoint stall.
Let's see. It's 9:00. It's time for Bird Note. We'll have to save the San Francisco questions for next time, I guess, Jim.
Cool.
I don't know.
Cool.
Well, I'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Good to be back. Good to be back.
It's good to have you here. Are you doing a folk show tonight, Jim?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I am not. I haven't had time to prep it, but I did pick up some folk CDs from Amoeba Records on the Hate.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
We're okay. Time for Bird Note. As the Crow Flies is the subject of this day's Bird Note. And let's all listen in, shall we? Thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY Ponderay.